I'm Dr. Jeffrey Chadwick. Welcome to Gospel Tangents.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. How long did Jesus live? Does the Book of Mormon give any help with answering that question? Dr. Jeff Chadwick of BYU will talk about that in our next conversation, and we'll talk about how the Book of Mormon plays a huge role in dating both the birth and death of Jesus Christ. Check out our conversation.
Now, that by itself is still pretty shaky. Okay? So why do I feel so good about proposing that when, in fact, the evidence for it, especially for a 2 months rather than 2 years thing, is a little bit like, okay, well, that's kind of a grand leap, Chadwick. How do you get there? It's because of the other things. It's because of what we know about the length of Jesus' life and when are the possible dates he could have been crucified. Now, what do we know about the length of Jesus' life?
33 years.
Where do we know 33 years from? And here's why it's lovely to be a Latter-day Saint. We only know that because of the Book of Mormon. Because Jesus has lived 33 full years in the space of the third Nephi story. Okay, and so we know he's lived 33 full years. I actually think he lives 33 years and a couple of months. Okay. That he's born in December of 5 BC and dies in early April of AD 30, which would make him like 33 and 3 months.
Okay.
But he lived 33 full years. That much is clear from the text of 3 Nephi. Okay? And he doesn't live 34 full years. Okay, he is only 33. Because his appearance in 3 Nephi to the Nephites is dated to the ending of the 34th year. So he's been dead some time before the end of the 34th year gets there, meaning he only lived 33 years and whatever little time after that. But he doesn't live 33 and a half years. And by the time you get to the appearance of the Nephites, it's nearly a year since the time that Jesus had died. So Jesus lives 33 full years and a little bit, but he doesn't live 34 years. Now, if you start figuring out the days, the year when Jesus could have died, what you have to do is you have to figure out what years does Passover fall on, a Friday or a Saturday? Because that's part of the narrative of the four
right.
Gospels. Because Jesus dies late enough in the week that some way of saying 3 days exists between the Passover on which he's killed, or the eve of Passover on which he's killed, and Sunday morning, which is the day that he resurrects.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, there are only 3 years in a 10-year period between 25 and 35 AD when Passover fell late enough in the week that you could make the claim that there were 3 days between Jesus' death or between the eve of Passover and Sunday morning.
Now, let me just
AD 27, AD 30, and AD 33.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, because I want to make sure we understand the whole calendar system, because the Jews had a different calendar than we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're based on a solar year, 365 days. Mm-hmm. They're based on a lunar year.
They're not based on a lunar year. They had 12 months that followed the lunar calendar, but they intercalated it with the solar run, the 365 day. So they ran on what we call a lunisolar year. Okay, their feasts had to fall in the solar seasons. Passover had to fall in the spring. Okay, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, had to fall in the fall. So they couldn't go strictly lunar. The lunar year, being only 354 days, causes an 11-day loss every year.
Right.
Okay? So that
Which is
after
why their
just
holidays are all over the place.
Well, they're not all over the place. They're always in spring or fall, right?
Okay.
Passover's always in spring, but sometimes it's in
March.
April, and sometimes it's in late March.
Yeah.
And that's because Passover is the 15th day of the lunar month of Nisan. It always is, and it's a full moon. The 15th day of a lunar month is the full moon. So Passover is always on the eve of the full moon. Always. Every time it's held. Going back to Moses. And it was commanded that it would be in the spring in Moses' day. Okay? So Passover cannot move out of the spring, even though Nisan, because it's the lunar month, would fall 11 days earlier every year. Except that, clear back in Old Testament times, in Judah, they adapted to that by every 2 to 3 years adding a 13th month to their year, a leap month. Okay? And they would then lengthen out the year every 2 or 3 years, which would kick Nisan into the spring again, and it would kick the fall months into the fall again, and keep Passover between March 20th and April 20th, and it would keep the fall holidays where they needed to be. So it was a lunar year, but it was always, advancing. But it was a solar year because they put in a 13th month every 2 to 3 years to keep it in sync with the solar seasons.
Yeah, it's just a crazy calendar, if you ask me.
Well, it's a calendar. Every calendar is crazy. Okay? but here is what we can do.
Okay, so this is why you're making the point that there were only 3 years where Passover.
Yeah, because astronomers can tell you what day, according to our calendar system, any full moon fell, going back 5,000 years. It's a simple matter of math. Okay? And so people who have done studies of the astronomy and the calendaring of the time of Jesus have, with what we think is fair certainty, identified years in which the full moon, which was the day of Passover, fell either on a Saturday or a Friday, which would mean that Jesus would be killed either on a Friday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon. Okay? Now, traditionally, he's killed on a Friday afternoon, but I think he actually was killed on a Thursday because you have to have something like 3 full days there. Okay. And the Book of Mormon insists on 3 days because it has 3 days of darkness, not two. Okay? And that's a big deal. But the 3 days in that decade between 2580 and 35 AD that you have the full moon of the spring month falling on either a Friday or Saturday, which means that the eve of the full moon was either a Thursday afternoon evening or a Friday afternoon evening. Okay, the 3 years where that situation exists are AD 33, AD 30, and AD 27. Now, because the Book of Mormon tells you Jesus lived 33 full years, this solves the problem. It solves it. Okay. Because if you speculate AD 33 and then go backward 33 years, it puts you in the year 1 AD or 1 BC. But that can't be it because Herod's still alive. No. Because Herod has been dead, By 1 BC, Herod has been dead for 3 to 4 years.
Right. Okay?
If you take 27 BC and go back 33 years, you're way too early. You're too early for a number of different reasons, and the biggest reason is that that puts you out of sync with the 600-year prophecy.
Okay.
The year 30 is the only year that works for Jesus' death. Okay. And what it does is it, if you count back from April of the year 30, you get to April of 4 BC.
For exactly
33 years.
Right.
And if you count 3 more months, which allows the time between Jesus' birth and Herod's death, then you've got it. But if you went back, if you insist, for example, well, I like April 6th, okay? And if Jesus can't have been born on April 6th in 1 BC, because it doesn't work with those year things, and if he can't be born on April 6th of 4 BC, because that's when Herod, what about April 6th of 5 BC? Well, that would be good, and people have proposed that, or even April 6th of 6 BC or 7 BC. But the problem with that is that you've got to get to a date on the other end of Jesus' life, his death date, that will put you back 33 years. And if you go back from 30 AD, if you go back 34 years to make it April of 5 BC, you're out of the window. Because Jesus can't have lived 34 full years. The Book of Mormon insists he only lives just over 33.
Okay.
So the Book of Mormon narrows that window down to 33 years and something that is a minority of a year, not enough months to be considered even half of a year. It's got to be something that's so close to 33 years that it's within 33 years and 3 or 4 months, or else the whole thing doesn't work. So what we're doing when we talk about the wise men and how many years, you know, after Jesus' birth, the wise men arrived, and this and that and the other, is what we're doing is we're taking information from the Book of Mormon about the 600-year prophecy and also about the number of full years Jesus lived, and we're plugging this into this equation, which also says we have to account for when Herod the Great died. And when all of those are put together, you have a very, very small window. And the widest that window can be is probably anywhere from, say, October of 5 AD to January, October of 5 BC to January of 4 BC. But if you then say January is probably the absolute latest and October is probably the absolute earliest, if you find common ground in there, you're going to be somewhere between, you know, December 1st and the third week in December as the middle ground in that window.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Jeff Chadwick. In our next conversation, we'll talk about Catholic traditions surrounding Christ's birth.
That the Annunciation to Mary happens in March. And if this is the case, because this is the case, of course, in Catholic tradition, but I also suggest...
Catholic tradition says he was conceived in March?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I also see this in my own mind. I see it in Luke, because it mentions that the angel comes to Mary in the sixth month.
If you'd like a transcript of this conversation, we'll have it out shortly. I'd also like to thank you for those of you who are subscribing on Patreon.com. Please tell your friends. It's really helpful and will help support future documentaries and podcasts such as this. Also, make sure that you subscribe on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/GospelTangents. You can get our Twitter updates at GospelTangents. Also, make sure that you, if you'd like a written copy, go to our Amazon page. You can search for that. I've got a link here, but just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you should be able to find it there. You can also purchase a transcript of this at gospeltangents.com/shop. All of those proceeds will go to me and not to Amazon, so I really encourage you to do that. Make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. I've got a link here, but you can just do a search for Gospel Tangents there. If you'd like to get a transcript, click here. To subscribe here on YouTube, go ahead and click here. And over here, you'll see some of our other videos. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate you listening to Gospel Tangents.